This is the WOKV Spotlight on 104.5 WOKV.
There's a shit of a person that just lost their steering.
As we hear more of the 911 calls that have come in from Baltimore the morning after that collision and ultimately the collapse, we continue to follow a number of storylines. Jacksonville Mayor Donna Deegan saying the Dames Point Bridge is our only local bridge that big cargo ships pass under, and there are safeguards in place.
We have concrete structures called dolphins that are located around the structures of the bridge that could be struck that would keep that from happening. And we also have sensors that provide additional information. So it is not something that, in terms of this type of accident, that we are concerned about happening in Jacksonville.
But I would imagine that the folks in Baltimore would also have said the same thing leading up to yesterday, though there are stark differences, including the lack of those barriers outside of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. I want to turn to Lake Ray's civil engineer, former state representative, former Jacksonville City Council member, president of the First Coast Manufacturers Association. If you're watching Action News Jax last evening, Ben Ryan was on this story and spoke with you, Lake, about some of the questions initially after the Baltimore Bridge collapse. So in listening to Mayor Deegan talk about those two huge concrete dolphins that come out of the St. John's River, are they designed to prevent a worst-case scenario from occurring here in Jacksonville?
Well, thanks, Rich. It's nice to be on with you this morning. And my background is actually a lot in maritime design. I've worked all over the Caribbean and all over the Southeast in some of these. The structures that are out there are, while they are technically dolphins, they're fender systems, which is to fender and to protect the bridge from being struck. They are significant structures. Having said that, if you have a complete loss of power like what happened, there's not anything that's going to be able to stop a ship from coming in. When ships come into the port, the design speed is typically somewhere around a third of a foot to a half a foot per second. And so when you're talking about miles per hour or knots per hour that some of the vessels could be moving in, it is a challenge. However, there's a number of things that are usually in action in this. And that's first is that there's a tug assist. And so even the loss of power in this particular location is it's unlikely to have lost total control. The second thing is that the structure, the way it is designed as that circular structure, the vessel, if it were to lose power, as what happened in Baltimore, what would happen is it would actually have a tendency to want to push off to one side. And if you were to look at those in aerial view, you would see that it would work towards pushing it away from the pier of the bridge, the main support structure of the bridge. Mm. So I think the challenge is that can it happen? Also, looking in that particular area, if you were to look at the river bottom in that area, it's not as deep there. It's not actually in the channel. So the sands of the river bottom would also help to keep and protect the bridge from being hit. This is a very rare case, but ships do lose power. A number of years ago here in Jacksonville, there was a ship that was off of Talleyrand Avenue, and it was making its way out. It was not as large as the one that was in Baltimore, but it lost power in a little bend and turn in the channel, and it hit the Shell Oil, to which I immediately was a part of a response. Shell is not operating here in a terminal anymore, but it did hit that. Fortunately, when the power was lost, they knew what was happening on. They shut all the systems down, so there was no petroleum, no injuries or anything of that nature. But things do happen. That was a rarity in that particular case, as it would be in most of these cases.
Like, as you consider what we know so far and that we're just a day and a half into this thing, given your experience what are your biggest questions? What will the investigation really be diving into? What would satisfy you and that curiosity that you immediately have?
Well, Rich, you know, I know you may or may not recall, and many may not remember, but back in the 80s, the Sunshine State Bridge was struck. Now, it was struck during a weather condition that caused that. And it was, frankly, a lot of the fault of the ship. It was not a power condition. They came up with a fender system, and the state has been going around and putting the fender systems in that would have likely prevented the destruction of the bridge down there, which, again, has part of that glancing. And also there are support structures that are in there that theoretically would sink the ship before it would be able to take the bridge out. Now, that's not what we have here, but the system that we have here at Dames Point Bridge is and has been a function that we're looking at and has been employed in the design of structures to support our to protect our bridges since that incident back in the 80s.
As a former state lawmaker, at the state level, can you envision Florida lawmakers taking from the lessons learned in the Baltimore Bridge collapse and maybe tightening up the laws a little bit in Florida? What might that look like? I mean, we're talking about the Dames Point Bridge here, but we have the other bridges, the Matthews, the Hart, the Acosta, obviously the Buckman Bridge. We don't see the cargo ships go under it. I get that. But, you know, might there be other changes that we might see at the state level? If you're still a state lawmaker, are you considering drafting legislation, or is it kind of knee-jerky right now?
Rich, I would say right now it would be a bit knee-jerky, but I would say that the first thing that should be done is that the state, and I'm sure that this will be a reaction to that, that the state would go do an assessment of all of our fender systems around the bridges, make a determination as to if they meet the best practice out there currently, and particularly given insight that may come out of the incident up in Baltimore. So I think if we combine those pieces together, you may see, one, an assurance that the structures that are in place are solid and are functioning at least per design. And the second is that there may be some reinforcements, some additional structure that might be added to them. I think if there's more of a weakness area, that might be on some of the smaller bridges. You know, while this is a horrific and a very big incident, I think that some of the smaller bridges with smaller vessels could have very catastrophic challenges. And I think if we want to be looking at something, that's probably the area at the state level we should be thinking in terms of, is what's really going on with the smaller bridges, with smaller vessels, because we could have, you know, catastrophic conditions for something smaller. I think as a whole, though, I don't think there's a lot of, there's not a lot that could happen here again in Jacksonville and some of our others. Rich, you probably remember a few years ago, we had the Matthews Bridge when it was struck.
Yeah, 2013. Yep.
Yes, and I was actually the first elected official with the DOT to go out there and look at that. And there were a number of reasons why that bridge didn't collapse. Where it hit and what happened, if it had happened just a couple of feet over, the bridge would have collapsed. But it was not a result of the bridge striking it. It was something that was on the bridge. It was a gate lift that was on the ship,
yeah,
and it struck underneath. Again, a very rare condition. But what I want to let you know is that it could have been catastrophic, but what would have been really catastrophic if we had the fire boat out that was watching, as well as police, and they happened to see it. They saw what was happening, and they closed the bridge down. If they had not closed the bridge down, it would have been overloaded in terms of vehicles and with the damage that happened. The bridge certainly could have collapsed. But we've got a lot of vessels that are out. There's a lot of watching and things. And so it actually proves that we do have good systems in place to protect citizens and protect, you know, what is going on. So there are a lot of good things. And I think that everybody should be comfortable. I'm sure for a while people are going to be, you know, a little bit suspicious if they're going over a bridge with either a container vessel or, you know, the same could be even true for one of the cruise vessels that would be going under, because they're large vessels with a lot of payload, a lot of weight, a lot of mass. And yeah, but I don't think there's a lot of concern, but I think we'll probably see some of this start come forward of what would be some good measures to make sure that to the best of our ability, the best practices, the best standards that are out there are applied. Hmm. But even with that, as we know in hurricanes, as we know in everything else, there still can always be something catastrophic. But, you know, you do the very best that you can. And I think that we've got a really good system here across the state to protect us.
Appreciate the insight. Lake Ray is the president of the First Coast Manufacturers Association, civil engineer, former state representative, city council member, very long list of credentials through the years. And we always value your insight, Lake. Good to hear your voice again. It's 9:21 on the Wednesday edition of Jacksonville's Morning News.